Please note that today's episode contains sensitive subjects and discretion should be advised.
Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Soul Prince podcast. I'm your host, Akashic Beck, and I'm very excited about today's episode. This is not only my first multi-guest episode that I've ever done, but I have some truly incredible SCHH family here joining me today to talk all about SCHH, what that is, and the impact that it's making on the world. So I'm going to go around and introduce everyone. First and foremost, I want to introduce the founder of SCHH, or Soul Center Healing Hypnosis, Miss Laura Whitworth.
Hello.
Next, we have Miss Heather Hink, who is an SCHH practitioner. Yes. Miss Karen Stamper, who is
another practitioner
and an amazing artist, by the way. Yes. And we also have Mr. Tony Mowry. Yes. Tony, you're an instructor now, aren't you?
No, well, I assist Laura with the course. I wouldn't say I'm an instructor. She's the queen.
Big queen vibes. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. I'm really excited about today's episode. So if you don't mind, just one at a time, go around and share a little bit about yourself, how you got into SCHH, and maybe a little bit about your background.
Who would you like to go first, Beck?
You can start.
You're the whole reason we're here.
Okay. So this is Laura Whitworth speaking, for those of you that are listening. I got into this because I trained in a quantum healing modality many years ago. And I found that I couldn't progress a good percentage of my clients into the necessary theta brainwave state in order to be able to get them to do quantum travel, because something else was going on. They were either too shifty, they were too anxious, they said they couldn't visualize, they would need to go to the bathroom all the time. And sometimes you would start to see them twitch, they would start to grimace, and then they would be quite rude and tell you that they wanted to, the actual session to stop. And I'd had no training in that whatsoever. I didn't know what was going on. And so I decided to make it my life's mission, basically, to work out what was going on with these people and how I could help them. And that came from a perspective of, I didn't like it when somebody came to see me for a session and I couldn't give them the experience that they were looking for, which is a hypnotherapy session. So that's the reason why I went into it. But then over the years, that progressed into realizing that, oh, so these things that are stopping people from accessing a theta brainwave state are earthbound spirits. So humans that have passed out of their physical body and they've not crossed over correctly and they've become bound to the earth, normally due to addiction, grief, trauma, something like that, or a strong feeling of possession over a person or place. So those spirits become bound to the earth and then they'll roam around for a bit and then eventually they will attach to another person that they will see that person's light. They'll gravitate towards it and they'll become attached. Or for other people, those people will have a demon attached or a parasitic entity attached, which is literally plugged into one of their energy centers and is siphoning their energy off. And those demons and entities get in there when we on this third dimensional plane experience trauma. And as we all know, in the third dimensional space, literally the whole world is geared up to traumatize us on every single level from the very first day that we're born. So the majority of people have these attachments. Now, for some people, when they would come to a session before I developed this technique, you would be able to get them quite the way far down the technique, but all of a sudden they would say, no, I don't want to do anymore. And they'd come out. And that's because the anxiety of the earthbound spirits that are attached pull them out of the theta state. Or they will get quite angry and say, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't what I expected. And they would bring themselves out. And they're the guys that's got the demons attached. So I took all of this information back to the quantum modality that I was trained in and said, look, there's something else going on here. And I was told that entities didn't exist, that it was just things that were made up by the client. And that didn't satisfy me, not with what I had seen and experienced myself personally. I mean, I've even seen clients levitating off the bed, and that's not something that somebody's making up in their mind. That's an actual thing. And when you've seen it, you know, you believe it. So I decided to devise this technique, and I decided to put an entity release section at the beginning of the quantum technique, which will basically take all of the entities off of that individual so that they can then be healed, so that they're not going around having their energy siphoned off, so that they can heal all of their traumas. But with the ultimate goal then that we are able to access a deep theta brainwave state so that we can take them on that quantum travel, which is what they wanted to do in the first place. So that's essentially how I ended up devising this technique. And then I realized, and I was guided, that it can't just be you that uses this now, Laura. You have a different technique now, and there's many, many people out there that can learn this and help many, many other people. And this is how it works. It just spreads out, it ripples out, and so on and so forth. So ultimately, the ultimate goal is all of humanity is healed. They get rid of all of their traumas, all of their entities, and we rise. And this is the absolute platform to ascension.
Excellent. Oh, and I love it. And SCHH is so incredibly powerful. And it's really growing in popularity. I'm very happy to see that. Didn't you just have your classes are at the beginning of the month, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Very good.
Always the first full week. So the first full week that's got a Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Friday in it, that's when I will run the class every month. And the last two classes have been full to capacity, so we've had to literally close it down. So we've had 40 odd people, which is a lot of people on one class.
That's a lot. Wow. That is incredible. Yeah. Oh my gosh, and such a blessing to see. Heather, would you like to go next?
Sure. Well, my name is Heather Hink. You can find me at quantumhealingwithin.com. Everything is under Quantum Healing Within. I am a Beyond Quantum Healing Hypnosis practitioner and an SCHH, Soul Center Healing Hypnosis practitioner. I found SCHH sort of the same way that Laura was talking about. You know, I was doing Beyond Quantum Healing Hypnosis sessions, which were amazing. But I was also finding that there's something going on with the clients. Like she said, sometimes they would come in and they would just start talking to you in a way that I thought, this is not the higher self. You know, you could see that difference from client to client. Some you had a really beautiful connection, and the information that was coming through was so powerful. And then you'd have someone that would come in and they would have a higher self that was frustrated and cussing and all of these different things. And I thought, there's something that's not quite right. And so, you know, I watched a lot of other practitioners' videos before I even thought that I would do this work. And so I had seen other practitioners that were doing a little bit of this work, but I never could figure out, how do I bring whatever it is that I'm seeing or that I'm hearing? How do I get it up to the surface so it will speak with me? I tried and I could not do it. And so I ended up, I had a hypnosis session with Laura right as I was starting my hypnosis journey. And then I ended up connecting with her again down the road after I'd been practicing for a while. And I started learning her technique. And all of a sudden, it was just like an explosion of finding all of these things that were attached to people. My sessions really shifted pretty quickly into doing a lot of entity release. So it's been a wonderful addition to my sessions to be able to get all of those things cleared off. And I'm really grateful to have that extra piece to the sessions now. It's great.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Heather. And Karen, would you like to go next?
I am Karen from Journeying Soul Therapy. You can find me at journeyingsoultherapy.com or on YouTube, Journeying Soul Therapy. And I found SCHH because I wanted to have a past life regression myself. I've been watching all the videos and I wanted to find someone in the UK. And one day, randomly, Laura popped up on my YouTube and I was like, that's the one. So I had a session with Laura and we kind of kept in touch. And then when she started teaching, I found a way to do the course. And I feel very blessed to have met her and these guys.
Same. Samesies. That's wonderful. And so do you have any background in hypnotherapy or QHHT or anything like that?
None at all. It was just a calling to do it.
Well, we're so glad that you did. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was random that you found Laura. I don't think it
was
random that I did.
That
I did too.
It wasn't random. None of it's random, really.
Never, ever. And Tony?
I'm Tony Mowry. I'm from Ropes and Wings. And all my handles are Ropes and Wings on all the social media. And it's ropesandwings.com if you'd like to book a session with me. I had a little bit longer journey, I guess, because I started out being a medic in the medical field, and it would always piss me off and frustrate me that you had all these ailments and stuff that people would take a treatment for. They'd come back with a vengeance, and I just kept searching and trying to find what the cause was. Why are these things keep coming back even after they do a treatment? Why is that? So I kept searching and as a medic with all the stress and stuff I was under, you know, you feel like you keep getting weighted down even further and further, and you have no energy anymore. And I started diving in on videos and YouTube, and I guess I came across the Law of One and started watching that. And because I was a preacher's kid, you know, the Law of One just rang true with me. I'm like, holy shit, there is past lives. And you know, we're being affected by that. So I found hypnosis. I'm like, oh, that's what I need. I need a past life regression. And I found Heather, and she was doing Beyond Quantum Healing hypnosis. And I went and got trained in that. And I'm like, man, this is it. This is the missing piece. This is what we need to get down deeper and find out what's actually causing all these issues for us. And I started out in that hypnosis technique, and I was just doing close friends and families. And I too ran into blockages after blockages of, you know, people not being able to connect. And my wife is especially, those were the two that hit home. I got her to a dirt road street in both two different sessions, and she couldn't progress anymore. And she said she had a dark thing in her chest. And then I'm like, well, I'm just going to send in healing light. We're going to heal this thing. Well, that made it worse. And then, so she's coming like, I got to come out. So I'm like, oh, there's something else. There's something that I'm missing. And about that time, then Heather and started doing entity release because she just got trained with Laura. And then I found Karen, who was doing Soul Center healing hypnosis, but I still didn't find Laura yet. And then I finally found her on another video where she was talking about entity release. And I'm like, oh, she is it. That's where I got to go. And so I signed up to take a course. And ever since then, I mean, this has been just a wild ride, amazing things. And I look back on my life now and, you know, this, everything was leading me up and training me to be at this now moment doing this in this field. And it's absolutely incredible. So I'm not really working as a medic anymore in the physical. I'm spiritual medic. I'm a demon slayer in the astral world.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Tony and I were actually in the same class together. We were classmates.
Yep.
In the March 2022 class. And so many amazing practitioners. I've loved to watch everybody's journeys, you know, everybody growing and stepping into their calling and, you know, kind of making it their own in a way. Has been really beautiful to watch. It's amazing. Well, I'll share really quick, since we're all talking about SCHH, I've been a follower of Laura's for years on YouTube. So that's how I first heard about her. And it was so funny. I just was one day, and I truly do not believe this was random. I was on Twitter, and back when I had a Twitter page, and I found Laura's tweets, and it led me to her page, and I just got wrapped up in it. I would like check, you know, every week to see if she had posted something and read one of her sessions, because she would transcribe them and then read them to us. And so it was like, you know, grown-up story time for me, you know. and I was you know, on my own spiritual journey, and then whenever Laura opened her SCHH, everything was really taking off with Akashic Beck. So it took me about a year before I was finally able to sign up, and I'm so glad that I did. It really drew me in. I felt I could tell that what it was impactful, and you know, working in the quantum like I do see a lot of the need, the necessity of entity release. I'm already familiar with the past life regression and the past life aspect, the higher self aspect, but the entity release, I feel like, is what really makes SCHH stand out the most.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I absolutely love this technique. I highly recommend it. I've seen how it has worked for my clients. And that kind of brings me into my next question. I wanted to see if everyone would share maybe an impactful session that they've had recently, something that just really stands out to you.
Good. Go ahead.
You guys want to go? You want to go first again?
No, Laura, lead off.
Gosh, my work currently is just so intensive. That's all I can say, really. Where I am currently, if you'd have shown me that a few years ago, I would have gone, oh, I don't think I could do that. But it's strange, isn't it, how over time you just build up this resistance and ability to be able to do it. I see some of the most complex cases now that are really, really complex. And you feel literally like a detective across time, space, reality, dimension, working across all types of bodies. So physical, emotional, energetic, etheric. Right. And you're trying to work out, okay, which trauma, which emotional tragedy has occurred in this lifetime, which has caused these physical symptoms? Is there a likelihood of being entities there? Or is it something that's occurred in a different lifetime? And that's the process that we always go through. But there is one example that I will share, because this is a significant one. And I always share this one in the classes. So you guys will all have heard this example. But for other people that haven't done the classes yet, this will be the first time. So, and I want to share this one because it gives you an idea of just how far entities can affect people's entire lives. So I had a guy come and see me many years ago now, and he was in his late 50s, and he was suicidal. He was at the end of his wits. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. He'd been to see a psychic medium who'd referred him to me. And he said, I don't know if you can help me, but I've been told that you do something and you might be able to work out what's my issue is. So he explained that all of his life, he'd felt like he got this female part of him, that he was very aware that he was male, that he was masculine, and he enjoyed being male. But there was this other part of him that felt very, very female. And as he'd got older, this part of him had got stronger and stronger and stronger. And he felt like he was literally battling with this other part of him. He felt like he was losing his mind. He'd been to the doctors, to mainstream medicine, if you like, and they had straight away wanted to sign him up for a sex change. and to turn him into a woman. And he said to me, but I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. I am a man and I love being a man and I am desirous of women. I don't want to be a woman myself, but I've just got this, I don't know how to describe it, but I've just got this part of me that just is, seems very feminine. So when we got him in session, he'd had many, many past lives where he was a woman. So that's significant. He'd had many, many past lives in the quantum space where his soul was female. So he already had a leaning towards feeling female. But what we found was when he was a child in hospital and he'd broken his leg and he was 5 years old. So bearing in mind, he was almost 60 and he'd carried this spirit for 55 years. When he was in hospital at 5 years old, a little girl had died in the next room or ward over. She'd been brought in an accident. Her parents weren't there. And she did the only thing that children do when there isn't anybody that they feel safe with. They find another child and they stand with that child. And so this little girl went and found him as a boy and stood with him and stayed with him. And then she attached to him because he was in pain with his leg, with his broken leg. So then they get stuck together. Now, over the years, this little girl was very bossy, very precocious, very, very strong feminine energy. And she, after a certain period of time, decided that she was going to control the physical vehicle that he was in, that it was no longer to be, it was no longer to be his turn, that it was her turn. And so I had to facilitate talking that little girl, basically, to detach from this guy's body, to make her understand that she couldn't stay, that she never had permission to stay. And it was only when she saw her family, who were already over on spirit side, her family came through. When she saw her family, she detached from this client, this guy, and she left. But he felt her leave, and he was absolutely devastated. Because it was at that point that he realized that this other part of himself that he always felt was a part of him actually never was. It was the spirit of this female, this girl. And so these are the things that we come across in the cases that we deal with. You will get some very, very, very complex things going on. You know, people that have addictions will always have earthbound spirits attached that have got addictions. People that are feeling suicidal will always have earthbound spirits attached that are suicidal. But I thought that case was an interesting one because it's very different. I've never ever seen anything else like that before in all of the time that I've been doing this. So I thought I'd share that one.
Very powerful. And did you follow up with him afterwards to see how he was doing?
Yep, we exchanged emails back and forth for a good amount of time. And he said he felt much better. He felt able to begin to start dating again. He felt able, more in control of his body and his mind, whereas before he felt he was absolutely losing his mind. And obviously there's only a certain amount of time you can keep in contact with clients when you deal with the amount of clients that I deal with. But yes, in the few months that I kept in contact with him after that, he was doing absolutely great. So it's really, really powerful stuff. Really powerful stuff.
That's wonderful. Heather, would you like to share an experience?
Yeah, I just want to sort of build off of what Laura was saying. We get these clients that come in and they fill out their paperwork and all of the things that they're dealing with. And they are dealing with thoughts and emotions that aren't theirs. They don't know it's not theirs. Thoughts of low self-worth and you're not good enough and you can't do that. It's almost like when they go to do something, there's a voice in their head that says, nope, you can't do that. And so they don't, because they think that it's their voice. They think it's coming from them. And so when you look at their paperwork and they've got this list of illnesses and issues and challenges that they've been dealing with, and then you take them into the session and you you know, you pull all of these different things off, you help them to release, and you speak to these different entities, these different beings, and you say, okay, what have you been doing while you've been attached there? And they'll say, well, I was causing, you know, these stomach issues or the headaches that they've been experiencing, or I've been keeping them from speaking. You know, they can't speak, I'm holding them back, or I'm the one that's creating that low self-worth or making them feel suicidal. And so you help all of these things to release, and all of those thoughts sort of just disappear. You know, all of a sudden they've got a clear mind and a clear head, and where before they were held back from moving forward in their life, it now becomes easy for them to move forward, because those entities and beings that were attached, they were projecting their fears, their emotions, their, you know, whatever they went through before they, or when they died, you know, before they died and when they died, they're projecting all that onto the client. So for me, it's just seeing the shift between when they come in and after, you know, how transformative that is for them is, I think it's quite amazing.
Very awesome. Yeah. And it is, it's like, sometimes it's almost like a 180, you know, like they're like, oh, I can process things now, yeah, you know? Yeah. And also, I also want to share, you know, with our listeners about how, you know, things can attach pretty much at any time, but it's, I feel like it's important that we, you know, we make sure we protect our energy, protect ourselves. That's a very important part of all of this, is after having a session, you know, maintaining that healing energy, that healing space within the mind, body, and spirit. Karen, would you like to share something next?
So I will never forget my first entity that turned up in a session. I had just done the course, and my first session was with a lovely mermaid. I think the second one was with a woman that was a healer. And then the next one, oh my gosh, I think as soon as I met this lady, I kind of knew what was coming, looking back. But at the time I didn't, you know, she hadn't put anything on the form. I said, oh, you haven't marked anything. Yeah, because I didn't like the way you said, do I have a problem? I don't have a problem. I said, oh, okay. And then she was kind of like, let's just do this and get it over with, kind of thing. Because it was free. I guess she just wanted to try it. As soon as we went in, she just started effing and blinding and swearing at me. And luckily, like the weeks previous to this, I had watched a load of Laura's entity videos. And I think I'd been called to watch them for a reason. Anyway, this was pretty hardcore. And I was struggling, but I did pretty good. I mean, this woman ended up vomiting after we'd taken this thing off. It was in her throat. She was coughing, yeah, and then she was vomiting. It turns out her husband, I don't think she liked very much, but he was a drug addict, pretty hardcore drug addict. So there was obviously stuff floating around him that had got attached to her. Anyway, it's very, very memorable,
I'll say.
I kind of cut the session short. I mean, I did the rebuild of the chakras, but I didn't take her into her past life. We just scanned the body to see if there was anything else. And there were some smaller things, but there was this horrible, horrible demon in her throat. So yeah, for my third session.
You're like, yay, to your new.
Welcome to your new career here.
I yeah, love that. I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
That's the clue, isn't it?
By the way.
Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Oh my goodness. Yeah. That is wild. Yeah, I wouldn't forget that soon either. Tony, do you have anything you want to share about?
Oh my God, there's so many. I mean, this is absolutely a crazy ride to me. you know, we're hostage negotiators in the astral realms. I mean, we have to, and we are on soul rescue missions every time we do one of these sessions. I mean, because we're not only helping the client, we're helping out, you know, 20, 30 souls sometimes on some sessions transition to the light because they missed it when they come out of the human body. So it's absolutely incredible to me. And I think that's where the medic side of me comes in, because I'm like, we're going on another mission today. We're going in, we're going to rescue some more souls and help them out. And, you know, and you cry and you laugh. And, you know, I constantly am choking back laughs all the time and end up making myself cough over the microphone. But, you know, you're crying, you're laughing at some of the stuff and some of the issues and stuff these entities have. And it's just really incredible. And it's even, I'm blessed to be here doing this. And, you know, one of the ones that stands out the most is I always get thrown these incredible things that I have to decide how we're going to handle it. You know, there's actually two that come to mind. And one, we're going through a past life regression, and this lady, she gets to this dark place and she's just laying there. And I go, okay, so what are you doing there? I'm resting. I go, okay, well, we'll rest, take your rest. And now, do you feel like you had enough rest? She goes, oh yeah. I go, what do you have to do now? She goes, well, I have to go through that dark, danky door right there. It's kind of a cheap screen door. I'm like, okay, well, when you're rested, we're going to go through that screen door. So she gets up and opens the screen door and she walks in onto a spaceship. And I'm like, all right, we're on a spaceship. That's cool. And it happens to be she walks on a spaceship where these little aliens, little gray aliens, were waiting for her to wake up out of stasis so they could ask her questions on the ascension of Earth. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. What do they want to know about Earth? Well, they want to know so they know how to stop the ascension of Earth, so they can get whatever they're mining from Earth. I'm like, oh, well, this is weird. How are we going to handle this? I got a bad spaceship that is trying to do ill will to Earth. And what are we going to do to handle this? So I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I go, well, can you talk to whoever's in charge of the ship? And she talks to him. Well, they ain't listening. I go, well, who do we need to call to help, to get help? She goes, well, you need to call in some help. I'm like, okay, let's call in the help you need. And they came on the ship, and I don't know who they were that was the help, but there was a strong masculine presence and a strong female, divine female presence on that ship. And we basically, the client, and we went around to everyone on that spaceship and make sure that they were all on board and knew how important the ascension of Earth was and how it was important to everybody, because they're all light beings. And we had some that were still confused yet and still wanted to, oh, they're not sure about it. Well, they went around and by using telepathy and stuff like that, they were able to convince them that they should change their ways and, you know, alchemize to the light like they should. And I always get thrown these scenes and scenarios where I got to sit and try to figure out what we're going to do, you know. And another one was a whole company of soldiers that I was speaking to, the captain that was attached to someone. And I got to figure out how to get all these soldiers that had died in, I think it was World War II. They were out in the trenches yet still, or out on the battlefield, and they wouldn't go anywhere unless the captain said. So we had to have the captain encourage them all that everything was good. We're just going to all march and hold hands, and we're going to walk right into that light and move on our way. So woohoo, another rescues. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. And wow. I'm amazed to find myself here.
No doubt. You're like, what can we get Tony to do today? Yeah. Let's throw him a challenge.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Well, I recently had a session where I was trying to, you know, help the client go under, you know, go into hypnosis. And they had told me before, they're like, well, you know, I can't be hypnotized. So, you know, and they were kind of arrogant about it. And I was like, that's okay. I was like, we're still going to try. That's okay. So I tried once and it didn't seem to really work. And he started getting really agitated and irritated. And I said, you know, talk to me, like, tell me what's going on. He's like, I don't know, you know? I was like, that's okay. I was like, let's try one more time. And if it doesn't work, you know, we'll figure something else out. Okay. So he was able to go under then that second time, and come to find out there was a demon attached to his mind that was keeping him, because they knew what I was there to do. And they were actively trying to distract him, delay this whole process. Finally, we were able to remove the entity. And it turns out it had been there for quite a while, but it was very arrogant. It was I guess, kind of, you know, playing upon his voice, you know, saying, oh, well, I can't be hypnotized and this isn't going to work, and giving him that general feeling. So I thought that was really interesting as well. They definitely are tricksters. You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates, you know, going into SCHH.
It really is. And the more you do it, you start to be able to spot on your clients straight away what they've got. Like, you can listen to them talk, how they talk, what they say, how they talk about other people. And, you know, those kinds of people that are quite rude sometimes, or they're quite abusive when they're talking about certain people in their life, they will always have the throat demon, always. And if someone's got a throat demon, if their energy center at the throat is impacted, the solar plexus will always be impacted as well, because those two are connected. So that's always interesting. But the most popular energy center in the human is the sacral. And I suppose it's very, very easy for us to understand how that would be, given the fact that this entire world, this entire realm, is always set up around sex. And also, if you think about as a child, that sacral energy center is your joy. It's your innocence, it's your creativity. And from the very, very second we come into this realm, you know, we're told to be quiet, stop crying, stop talking, sit down, sit still, don't talk while you're eating, put your hand up to speak. And that sacral energy center is just squished. And so that's oftentimes where you will find the biggest entity within an individual. And those kinds of clients will report little to no sex drive at all, or they will be insatiable, one or the other. And that indicates what type of sacral entity they've got. And they will, in the physical body, they'll have problems either in the womb, the ovaries, or candida overgrowth, bowel problems, those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah, I can totally see, you know, how and why the sacral is such a magnet, you know, for those things. I mean, it truly is, you know, part of our life force energy, like you said, our joy. And we are creative creatures, we're creative beings, like, you know, and the minute that you lose your joy is the minute that, you know, those things, like you said, just start to be stripped away. So I can totally see that.
And if they cap you off at that sacral energy center, then you're not going to have the full force of your energy going up through the rest of the energy centers as well. So you become more controllable.
Right.
They can't completely cut you off at the root, because if they cut you off completely at the root, you'd die. The physical body would die. So these entities normally come in and house themselves in the sacral energy center, so that then the human becomes more controllable.
Exactly. And where they attach to, you know, sometimes they're not attached necessarily to the sacral, but they're stuck in a part of a body, especially, like, I guess, earthbound spirits particularly, because they don't know where to go, you know, and they find shelter and safety, you know, in different parts of the body. And a lot of times those body parts are painful, or, like you said, they have, you know, illness, or, you know, inflexibility and things like that.
Hip pain is always to do with something in there that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Can be a demon, can be an earthbound spirit, but anybody that's got pain in the hip, and that's always because, and that entity's got in because they're not moving forwards. So the hips is always to do with, they need to be aligned perfectly moving forwards on their path. So that individual has been procrastinating, not move forwards, they've incurred a trauma, and that entity's got in, and then that further exacerbates the hip problem.
Exactly.
I found also that when you have like an earthbound spirit that's attached to a certain part of the body, and you take them back to that the day of their death and you find out what happened to them, oftentimes the place where they're located is where they were injured in that lifetime. So if they were shot in the chest, they might be attached to the chest. Or if they died in a car accident and their legs were impacted, they could be down in the legs. So a lot of times they will find that spot where they were affected the most. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And whatever that earthbound spirit died of, where they had physical pain at the time of death, when they attach to your client then starts feeling that physical pain of that earthbound spirit. So like what Heather's just said, if that person was shot in the chest, your client will start feeling that pain in the chest because it's the attached entity that's going, oh, I've been shot in the chest, all of this pain, pain, pain. And because they are then attached to the fields of that client, the client then starts to get chest pain. So yeah, that's always an indicator as well.
Right. There's so many layers to this work and what it does. And I really like how, you know, we're showing them that it's not all, you know, sprinkles and rainbows and unicorns. You know, it can be, it's extremely serious work. And we are, you know, alleviating, you know, this trauma and everything that's associated with it, that's attached to these people, these clients.
And you have to have two key things to do this work. One is compassion. You must have compassion. Because if you don't have compassion, you're not going to take this work seriously enough. The compassion has to be there. Some of these spirits, these entities, have had such a terrible road, a terrible journey that none of us would have wanted to have walked. But they've done it. And we must always bring that compassion to this process. But also strength. You've got to be strong to do this. This is not for wallflowers. This is hard work. You have to have a strength within you that you know who you are. You know that you are a piece of Source Creator having a human experience right now. And as a piece of Source Creator, you have come in to help other pieces of Source Creator that don't know that they are Source Creator help themselves. And it's carrying that sense of self-worth. And there's no ego or arrogance around that. It's just a knowing that you know who you are. So you need to bring that compassion and strength. And those two things together are the absolute perfect synergy for an incredible Soul Center Healing Hypnosis practitioner.
Yes. I love it so much. And I feel like, and tell me, guys, if you agree, that as I've been doing, you know, this type of work, both SCHH and what I do, it kind of anchors you in more and more to that sense of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really
that
does.
That strength, yes. Absolutely. I love it so much. I'm so grateful. Okay, so next question for everybody. I wanted to ask, how are the energies of right now affecting you guys? Like, what has been coming up for you? And even it, you know, if you want to share anything else in your sessions, either ones that you've done, or even if you've had a session on yourself, is there something like really powerful that's come through for you lately and maybe given you some clarity around the energies of this time?
Trauma for me, sorry, not for me personally, but in my clients' trauma, it used to take me a while to dig deep enough to get to the trauma, but now as soon as we go in, it's like, here I am, heal
like
me
right there on the surface.
Yeah, so I think that's that trauma is just bubbling up, isn't it? And I felt that in the collective recently. I've just felt everyone's, I don't know, learning some lessons, taking a step back, reevaluating. Yeah, trauma for me definitely in my sessions is just there.
Yeah, I would agree, Karen. In terms of the sessions, trauma and entities is everything. And that is That's what needs to be healed right now. In terms of energies personally, I just want to hermit. I want to be in the woods. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I just want to sit by myself in the woods and contemplate. And me and the kids, we've been doing that when we finish school every day. We've been going straight up to the woods. They've got this amazing little rope swing that they go on. And they're having fun on this rope swing. And I'm just there with my back against a tree, watching them, just feeling so connected. I just need some silence and some space. That's how I feel currently.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
So real. Well,
I think, you know, it's coming across in sessions a lot lately. Like we were talking the other day about everybody going to the beach. You know, they're going to places that they remember them connecting, you know, to nature, to themselves, and just being and enjoying life, you know, going to the beach, going fishing, you know, getting back to that childhood joy and adventure. And, you know, that's coming through in a lot of sessions with clients, is reminding them where they need to be and how to get back there to reconnect with themselves. And, you know, for me, I'm the same as Laura. You know, I feel like all I want to do is disconnect. When I'm done doing sessions and working in the office, I'm like a school kid. I just got done with my homework. I'm going outside. I got to, you know, disconnect and be outside doing something and working and you know, not really wanting to be around it. I'm just kind of, you know, just being just so chill that it's almost too chill.
Can't be too chill, Tony.
Just don't care. I mean, I care about all you, but it's just whatever happens.
Right. What about you, Heather?
You know, I feel it's funny. I went through my period where I just absolutely didn't want to do anything, and I really struggled, and I was in the same space. Like, I just want to do my sessions, go sit outside. I don't want to do anything else. Energy is shifting for me, which is good, because I like to be a little bit more productive, not busy, just productive. If I feel like I've accomplished something for the day. So I'm back into that energy. But it's interesting because I normally don't watch what's going on around the world. I normally tune that out, but for some reason I've been drawn to sort of just observe what's happening around the world, almost just to see what's going on. And I've been quite, like, not shocked, but there is some very interesting things that are happening at this time. And, you know, when we do these sessions, a lot of times you hear that as we move towards this shift in consciousness, that things are bubbling to the surface and it's going to get more and more intense. And we're going to see things that have been hidden, you know, from everybody, that they just haven't known. We're going to see all that start to bubble up so that people can see it to help them to awaken. And I feel, of course, we're always saying that, like, nothing ever happens. But I almost feel a little bit like we're either stepping into that, or we're starting to see it really kick off. So it's been interesting to sort of observe what's going on, because it is getting intense out there for sure.
Something's building, isn't it?
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we want to disconnect a bit, though, because we just,
yeah,
we just don't need to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, we're just here waiting to assist and be ready for that. But we don't need to really deep dive into it. That's how I feel.
rest and ready. Get rest and ready.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole conversation reminds me of what I channeled for the records for September. What I saw, just a bunch of people, just, you know, hundreds, thousands of people standing there. And there were some people who were in this ball of plasma, is what I saw. There's a lot of symbolism, you know, in the records. And the people in the ball were, like you said, observing the people who were outside of the plasma. And I mean, everybody was the same. Nobody was special because they were in the plasma ball, but they were just, it was almost like they were able to look at things through a different lens. And maybe that's what we're doing, is, you know, some people are able to see, okay, you know, maybe get a clearer idea of what's going on with humanity, you know, and looking at it, you know, it's almost like, it's like you're there, but you're also removed at the same time. You're almost like you have this barrier that you can walk through at any time and rejoin the rest of the world. So maybe that's why we're all feeling like, you know, we need to disconnect. We need to, you know, stabilize ourselves, like find that baseline again. I've personally have noticed I'm feeling really, really called to regulate my nervous system. And maybe that's another thing that that we're all trying to do, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
I'm doing that a lot lately, you know, just getting barefoot, getting out grounded and walking in the grass and deep breathing, just trying to regulate and get balance again constantly, seems like.
I use shungite balls as well. Shungite balls, the big ones, are amazing. And you know, when you're feeling a little bit off center, if you just hold one of those near to your root, oh, you feel fantastic. They're so good.
Yeah. Sorry, Laura.
I was just going to say, I normally have one near me to show you, but they're all being used as doorstops at the moment.
That's so cheeky.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's just
hilarious.
Being creative balances me. Just anything creative. You know, I could go out in the garden and make something out of twigs. I'd be quite happy. I'd feel balanced again just doing that.
Yes.
So I recommend
it's because you're connecting, aren't you? And you're letting it flow.
Well, yeah. I was building a bow. Creating something.
That's creative. That's awesome.
Because your mind just goes when you're in that flow. You're not thinking of it. You're just in the zone and nothing else matters.
Exactly. And like you were talking about the sacral area, Laura, about how, you know, it allows us to, you know, kind of get out of our heads, you know, and reconnect with the body. Like that's how that flow happens, is by sinking back in. That's also how we sink into our intuition as well.
Yeah. So if you've got something there blocking it, then you can't connect with that, those senses that you have that allow you to be creative. And yeah,
right.
it's all very obvious when you can see and you know what's going on. It becomes very, very obvious how humans have ended up in the state that they're in right now, because the majority of humanity have not been operating with open heart chakras for a very long time. And that's how we've ended up in the state that we're in right now. And society, to be honest, at this present time is just ludicrous. Where this society has gone is ludicrous. And I almost look at humanity now, they're just like a caricature. I'm stood over there as the observer looking at this caricature thinking, I can't believe I used to want to be one of the herd. Can't believe I used to, you know, try my level best to fit in. When it's just all so absurd. And it's that feeling of wanting to completely unhook from society and just go right the way back to basics. You know, what do we need as humans? What do we need? And the majority of what society is telling you need, you don't need. And the things that you do need, you're leaving them somewhere with somebody else to go off and earn money. You know, the most important thing that makes us humans is love, and the ability to love and be loved, community, coming together as heart-centered beings. And that's what we need to get back to.
Amen.
And that's another thing we're seeing in sessions too, is clients getting and seeing us getting back to basics, back to the way we were when things were simple. Not looking for things, just looking for that connection between family and friends and living in the heart space and healing and just being. Earlier times, simple times.
They were the best times.
But advanced tech does come up a lot too.
Karen loves her advanced tech, don't you, Karen?
Yeah. I want the advanced tech. I do.
I want the advanced tech too. I'm with you. Yeah.
It's kind of like the community aspect, but there's always there's sort of free energy and there's the healing devices, flying cars.
Because you can use crystals for advanced tech, can't
crystals.
You? But yeah. They're still a part of the, you know, the nature.
The simple. They're simple tech.
Yeah.
I was watching a video a couple days ago, and this fellow was he was talking about a book, and I wish I could remember the name of it right now, but he was talking about, you were talking about the community, and he said that that as a society, especially here in America, we are losing what's called our third place. And it's like a third place is kind of like, you know, a coffee shop or, you know, a bookstore. What it's a place that people can come and just mingle and mix and be and not feel, you know, pressured to buy anything or anything, you know, just having that, like, that community space where people could interact. Like, we're losing that as a society, and instead we're, you know, either staying in our homes, or like you said, we're connected to technology by, you know, playing games and things like that, and we're not getting in front of people anymore. So we're losing that aspect of ourselves, and that's probably what's contributed to all of the depression and the social anxiety that people experience. I feel like I see or hear somebody say, "I'm just so socially awkward, and I'm this and I'm that," and it's like, well, you know, how often do you get out and try to talk to people? And it's like, they're socially awkward too. So it's like, let's be awkward together. Who cares? You know? And it feels so, it just feels so constricting, you know, and limiting, to not have those spaces anymore. You know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I grew up before, you know, social media and things like that. And I was able to have those experiences because I can see that polarization now.
Yeah. People will always say to me when I take my children to, you know, say for example, the dentist or wherever, they'll say, "Your children are so polite and they can converse with us, you know, and what is it that you're doing? What are you doing with these kids?" And I always explain, they don't have any technology at all. At nighttime, we have little figures in the UK called Sylvanian families. You can have like the squirrel family and the rabbit family. And we play houses with the squirrels and the rabbits. And then we sit and we play card games, or we sit and we talk as a family. And when we go out, we will sit and we will eat as a family and we will talk. And we noticed it a few years ago that you would go out when you went on holiday, and all of these parents who haven't got a clue what their kids are like because they just palm them off either at school or wherever, they're out at a family meal and all of their kids have got iPads. They're all sat around the table with iPads, eating a meal in a restaurant. And I thought to myself at that point, this has all gone horribly wrong. Because if that's what's going on, that should not be going on. You know, people are missing that connection. And the only way that connection occurs is if you spend quality time with each other with no devices. And I say to my husband, like, he'll come home and he'll forget, he'll come back from work and he's there on his phone. I'm like, can we put the phone away, please? Can we put the phone away? And the phones get locked in the bedroom. Right, come on, let's sit and chat. Let's play a game. Let's do something. And that's when the beautiful stuff happens. You know, if you just sit with your family around a table and eat and chat, if you don't normally do that, try it for a month and just see how the dynamic and the closeness of your family unit changes. It's so strong. It really, really is. That's the way we should be.
Absolutely.
I live on a street. Sorry. I keep butting in, Laura. Sorry.
Go for it.
I live in an area in Cambridge where everyone knows everyone. It's quite a good community. but there's a lot of old people here. And it's the older generation that chat away and know everyone's business. And then they'll stop you on the street and they'll tell you Mary and Rich's business from number one. And then you'll get Margaret from number 64 walking past and she'll join in.
Yeah.
It's the younger ones that kind of, it's the younger families that kind of keep themselves to themselves, I've noticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the older generations knew how to kind of, because they probably, they didn't have phones and computers. That's their way of doing business.
It is. And if I'm out and about and I see an older person, I make it my business to find something to talk to that older person about. I'll catch their eye in some way and I'll say, you're right, my love, you're having a good day. And I make us have a conversation because I know that I might be the first person that old person's seen in 2 weeks. They might not have been out for groceries for 2 weeks. We've got to connect as human beings. And that's what this technology has done. It stopped us from connecting. We even do it in our families. You know, many, many parents, because they've not had their own children, when the children come back from school or from wherever, they can't cope with them anymore. They're like, oh my God, they're too giddy. I can't cope with them. So they give them an iPad to shut them up. And so then all of that energy from the child is being channeled into the iPad. And there's so much subliminal stuff going on in these games and all sorts of crazy things. And it's a bit of a joke in our house. My eldest child will always say to me, so how old am I going to be when you let me have a phone? And I'll go, hang on, let me think. I might let you have a phone when you're 21. She's like, really? Can't it be 20? Okay then, 20.
One whole year.
Yeah. That's funny. And you know, I think to myself, I hope that we're not still using phones when you're 20, baby girl, because if we are,
we're in trouble.
We're screwed. It's got to be telepathy.
Telepathy.
You know, along those same lines of the kids and their electronics and the parents that just, you know, can't deal with it, I think about, won't it be amazing one of these days when these parents are no longer having to go to a 9-to-5 job and work their tail off to just be able to provide, and they're working so hard and they come home at the end of the day and they're exhausted and all they can do is what they can do. And sometimes that is to put their children on these devices because they're physically drained, you know, of everything that they've got. I think about a world where we don't have that anymore. And people have that freedom to spend the time, not focused on all of the challenges in their life, but really have that time to spend with their children. I was thinking about this with the animals the other day. I cannot stand to see anything with the animals. And, you know, there's so many that are abandoned and, you know, people leave their, they just dump their cats in different places and their pets. And I was thinking there are so many people around the world that would love to do nothing but have like a big farm with, you know, an open place where they could bring in like a sanctuary and have all of these animals where they could just do nothing but take care of these animals. Like there's enough people around the world that they would do that all day, every day, if they didn't have to worry about paying all the bills to run that farm and where they were going to get food. If there was a way that they just had access to everything that they need, there would never be another starving animal or sick animal because there'd be plenty of places to have them taken care of. But it's our society and the rat race and having to just, you know, people are just barely getting by, and that's got to shift so that you can get your energy back to be able to do these things. It's just like a, you know, a never ending spiral, a circle that you can't seem to get out of.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. We've got to change the fabric of our world. Totally change. It's all got to come crashing down. Yeah. And then we build something back that is just beautiful.
I'm ready.
Have to get off the merry-go-round and where do we sign up for that, Heather? Because my wife would be into that, and she can. That's all she could do.
Right, every day, just taking in all the babies can come.
She could have a Dalmatian plantation. About that. Yeah. Great. And you know, and living this way in society, I mean, it makes it nearly impossible to regain and step into your sovereignty as well, reclaiming that, because you're constantly giving it away, like you said, you know, to your job and to all these things that we need and that we have grown accustomed to in our society. But I mean, I definitely feel like as sad and as hopeless as the situation feels, I feel like there's always hope. There's always a possibility that remains, and that's what we need to focus our energy on, and not just like, you know, ruminate and circulate through these negative energies, these feelings, and sitting in them, like, you know, okay, what's our first step, you know? And sometimes we have to be brave enough to take that first step to make it happen.
Yeah.
There's so much happening. I see it all the time. I keep saying this. I see people setting up People's Health Alliance and loads of different businesses and school ideas and rewriting educational programs. I see it. I know people that are doing this. So when everything does start to crumble, I know there are things there, like a safety blanket. Yeah, and that's what I want to focus on. I'm so done with people sending the intel and all that. Oh, I'm so over it.
It's like, Can we not? Yeah.
Yeah.
So one question I had for everybody is, what are your feelings on time lately? Because I feel like time is trying to be not real. I feel like I blink and it's, you know, 5 hours later, and it just seems to be like ebbing and flowing. Are you all experiencing that as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I demand an upgrade. If time is going to keep flying fast, I demand an upgrade so I can fly faster with it, so we can keep up. Something's got to give.
No doubt.
I keep waking up in the middle of the night as well.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, God, there's another 4 hours to go and I feel all right. I could get up now. But then you think you can't get up now. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I'll just lie here then for 4 hours.
Yeah, it feels fast for me too. Sleeps.
What'd Sorry, you say, Heather?
It just feels fast for me too. I mean, yeah. Everything feels like it's just moving really fast. Yeah.
I'm just one day ahead. I've no idea what day it is, honestly.
I don't ever know what day it is.
Every day I have to think, what day is it today? And even halfway through the day, I've forgotten. And I'm like, what day is it again?
Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had to buy a big calendar to hang in my living room because I'm like, okay, today is Tuesday and you know this now, and there are things to do on that day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so stressful. But yeah, I can't ever, I'm like, you care. Like, I'm like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know the day. No. Don't ask me these things. Hey, you have an iPhone. Why don't you look on there?
something that I'm finding really stressful now is remembering people's birthdays. I used to be really good at that. My brain doesn't want to do it anymore. It's like, are we still doing this? Are we still celebrating your birthday? And you've been here like 6 million years. Why are we doing this?
Well, I have to remember people's birthdays because I'm a numerologist, and they would, I wouldn't be able to help them if I didn't know it. But I know what you mean.
Every year. And I'm going to break out of the mold. I'm sick of remembering people's birthdays. I'm sick of the same old things every year. Christmas, Halloween. Oh, no, forget it. We need something new. We need a new level. We need a new level. Yeah. This is boring. We've done it. It's boring.
Yeah.
We should all get cake once a month and just be like, this is for everyone's birthday. Yeah. There you go.
That sounds like a good idea.
It's an excuse to have cake as well. But I was just curious. I wanted to ask y'all about that because I feel like that's a conversation that I've been having a lot lately is what is time, you know, and I know it's a construct, you know, and everything that keeps, you know, keeps structures in place and whatnot, but these structures are trying to crumble. When are we going to let go of time? You know,
yeah, you hear them talk about, you know, time doesn't exist outside of this dimension or reality. And I just can't quite figure out how that works. How do you know if you've got a council meeting? That council meeting, like, how do they measure that? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, we wouldn't have known what time to get on here. I mean,
right. One day maybe we'll understand.
Yeah, just casually get on a Zoom call, it's fine.
See who's there
on a random Tuesday. Oh my gosh, so funny. Oh my goodness. Okay, so the last question that I have for everybody today, I wanted to ask, what has been something very poignant that has been that you've noticed, that you've witnessed, experienced on your spiritual journey? Something that really stands out to you? I know that's a loaded question.
That's really loaded.
What stands out to me since I was a preacher's kid, that everything that I was taught, everything that was I was told has been wrong, or wrong to a point. You know, it's just, I was just told what they thought was true, but was not true. And, you know, I talked before about going over the raw channelings, and that's what started my awakening. And you know, that was only 2 years ago, which seems like it's been 10 years now, but you know, is that time, that awakening, when I went through that material and I'm going, oh shit, everything I've been told is wrong, is not true. You know, there's stuff outside of this body, there's stuff outside of this realm. We don't just die here. We continue on. And and that's just a big realization for me on that, you know, that's what woke me up, is that everything has been wrong that I've been told.
I would agree with you, Tony. That's been the biggest thing for me as well. It's that sense of relief of knowing that this is not the only shot we get at it. And prior to waking up, I lived with so many regrets of things that I'd done in my life, because I'd not done things right. I'd not done things the way that I was supposed to. I'd not done things the way that my parents thought I was going to, or the way I potentially thought I was going to. I kind of did it all wrong. And for many years, I used to think, God, I've just screwed my entire life up. None of it made sense. And it wasn't until I discovered past life regression and I had a session myself, and I worked out exactly why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing now, and why all of those things happened to me when I was younger that were devastating at the time. When you get that sense of clarity by looking in the quantum space, God, what a sense of relief you get when you think, oh God, I didn't cock up there. That was supposed to happen.
Right.
And you're like, oh, thank God. Yeah. And since that day of finding out about past life regression, reincarnation, the quantum space, I now walk through life with a feeling of joy and lightheartedness, as opposed to a feeling of I'm a screw up. And it changes people's lives, and it gives them their life back when they realize that they're doing exactly what they should be doing. Exactly what they should be doing. And they're doing it well. They just need to enjoy every moment. That's all you got to do.
and that they have a choice. You know, if they don't want to stay on the road they're on, they have a choice to go a different road. And it's like you said, I mean, we wouldn't be who we are had we not gone through all that, experienced all that in the past, and not just this past life, but other ones as well. It brought us to where we are now.
I can't pinpoint one thing, honestly. I think maybe just this ride that we're all on now. It's epic. And we've done sessions between us, and we think we all know each, we've known each other somewhere before as well, which is pretty epic too.
Absolutely. Soul family.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tony, did you want to?
No, go ahead, Heather.
I was just going to say, I just feel really extremely grateful. As hard as this life can be and challenging, and sometimes, you know, once you sort of learn that you're not just of this earth, and you've been another type of being, or you come from other places, you know, sometimes we're like, please take us home, or, you know, get me out of here. But I am so incredibly grateful that I know what I know, because so many don't have access to this information, and I don't have it all figured out. And I know there's probably a lot of things that I know that aren't exactly correct, you know, because I enjoy looking at different things, but I'm just incredibly grateful to have sort of a front row seat to watch this unfold and to see what happens. I always say, you know, when people ask, because we do these sessions, you know, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, I don't have a clue. I get to see all of this information come in, but it comes in so different. You just really don't know until we get there. I'm along on this ride, just like everybody else is, but I just feel extremely grateful that I have an awareness of what's happening. And I know that there's more than just us humans on this planet, which, you know, we all think, and there's more than just this one life, and you're just going to pass out of this body, but your soul is eternal. So there really is no true death. So it's just nice to have all that access to all of that information. I feel very grateful.
Yes. So grateful. So, so deeply grateful. I think one of mine is that knowing that we're never, ever alone, that we have a plethora of guides surrounding us at all times that love us unconditionally and walk us through this journey. And like you said, Laura, you know, even though we might think we screwed up, we make all the wrong choices all the time, we can also subscribe, you know, and change the way that we think things. Like, that's, those options are out there, and we don't have to embody, you know, the way things have always been, you know, like, oh, well, this is just how it is. It's like, no, it's whatever I want it to be. It comes from me. It comes from within. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to have been on this journey with all of you. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today, everyone. And do you still do the roundtable discussions? I meant to ask. Yeah. Yeah. I meant to ask you about that.
We just did one last week.
Okay, great. Yeah. I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure. But everybody, please check out my amazing friends here and everything that they offer. And if you have any questions about SCHH, please reach out to us and let us know. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by and listening to Soul Prints. Take care.
Thank you, Beck.
Thank you.
Love you all. Thank you, Beck.
Thank you.
Bye.